League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
The preeminent NFL draft analyst, the godfather of Houston sports talk. Put them together, and you get the trench.
Get in the trench.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
All right, it's not the trench. It's actually the bench. 713-780-377. Although I've never called us the bench. It's always John and Lance, so there's that. 713-780-3776. So let me explain. You can only have one sentence, but we have another set. We have more segments here in the show. We got two more hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you hear that LSU had to vacate 34 wins from 2012 to 2015?
Mm-hmm.
Because of Vidal Alexander? He was ineligible, and he played 3 years for him.
Wait, he was ineligible that whole time?
The whole time. So they had to vacate 3 years, 34 wins. They had to vacate.
Oh, so you're taking that loss away.
So the Aggies in 2012 beat Alabama, Johnny fumbling a ball, running around, throwing a touchdown pass. They win. Then they lost the last game of the season to the Tigers 24-19. And they didn't make
No. I was at that game at A&M. I was at the game at A&M that same year, the Johnny thing. Johnny tried to make a throw left-handed, and he was a goof. They lost. But you could tell, because I remember talking to someone after that game, like, this kid's got a chance to be really, really good. They lost at home.
They lost
to LSU.
The Tigers beat the Aggies 24-19.
At Kyle Field?
Well, I don't know where it was. They lost the game.
Was that the last game of the season, though?
No, the LSU and
I know they play later, but this was a day game.
Oh, no. It was October 20th.
Yeah.
October 20th.
Okay. Yeah, I was at that game.
Yeah.
You know how I know? Because I was with Brian Caswell, very good chef here in town, and Caswell said, hey, I want you to come to this. I'm gonna be hosting. There's this really wealthy A&M guy who's got, like, a bunch of property there, and he, for the A&M game, he gets all these, like, campers. He rents them, brings them out there, and he has a big party, and all the LSU friends stay there. And then I was with Caswell. He was catering for a lot of it, and we got our own little place to stay. But Brian said, yeah, I'm going to bring you. But he said the only way you can go is that you have to wear an Aggie jersey, an Aggie shirt. And I'm like, do not post pictures.
Oh, my God.
My wife is going to be so pissed. Right. And he intentionally took a picture and sent it to her.
Oh, no.
Oh, she goes, you are dressed in an Aggie. I said, I'm going to see Manziel. Because at that time, Johnny Manziel was everything.
Yeah, no. So, anyway, they beat Alabama, lost to LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Their only two losses. So they finished third, not fourth in the division that year. They finished third. You give them that win, they finished 11-1. And they beat Alabama. So they win the SEC West because they beat Alabama head-to-head. Alabama had one loss to the Aggies. Aggies beat them.
Well, who played in the SEC championship game?
Alabama and Georgia. Alabama and Georgia.
Georgia in 2013?
And Alabama won.
No, 2012. Actually, it would have been 11. Wouldn't even been 12 yet.
No,
because 11 was Johnny's first year in the Big 12. 11, the 11-12 season, right?
No, this is 12. There's no 11-12 season in football. It's 12.
It's 11-12 because it starts the 2011.
Oh, the national championship is 12. The national championship doesn't come until 13. So, anyway, let me finish. So, they only ended up with one loss. or two. Now they end up with one loss because LSU's out. Aggies win the SEC West. They go on to beat Georgia.
Where are you getting all this from?
What do you mean? Where am I getting?
Where are you getting all this? How are you extrapolating all this out to a national championship?
Well, they did win the West. Now they've won the West. It was 11-1. LSU losing that game. They finished 11-1. They beat Alabama, so they win the SEC West. They get to go and play Georgia now, and then they go get to play Notre Dame in the national championship game, and they win it all. Aggies are national champs. If you extrapolate, taking that win, that loss away, the Aggies are really the national champions, okay?
The Aggies are really the national champions.
Yeah, yeah. They would have beat Georgia that year. They would have beat at Notre. They would have crushed Notre Dame.
Oh yeah, they were. That's right. 11 was the fall they were coming in. Yeah, so Manziel was 12 and 13.
Yeah,
I'm getting 11 mixed up with 12 because Johnny. Because but it was the first year they came into the SEC.
Yes,
that was the first.
Yes,
year.
And they would. They won the SEC West, and hence, and therefore,
they lost to Florida, and they lost to Florida the first week, but then they would have won out.
Mm-hmm.
No, they wouldn't have won out. Well, they. They get that one. They get the LSU win because they, because,
yeah,
you know,
finished 11-1.
Because you could not have beaten them, because there's no way LSU would have beaten A&M if that guard hadn't been there.
They beat Alabama
head
to head.
If that guard hadn't been there, there's no way A&M would have won if that 340-pound sloth-like right guard hadn't been there.
Listen, they won the SEC West. The SEC West wins the national championship. The SEC, the Aggies are national champs 2012.
Can I tell you how Johnny did in that game?
Johnny was awesome.
Okay. He was 29 of 56, completed 51.8% of his passes.
That's great.
He threw for 276.
If you hit 500 in baseball, was that great or not?
He threw for 276.
Uh-huh.
He had zero touchdowns, three interceptions.
Well, I mean, it's one game, and they were able to overcome it.
And that's that big win that catapults him to the national championship?
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, they got that win, by the way. I don't know if you heard, but if it wasn't for Alexander, LSU would have A&M would have crushed LSU that day.
Okay.
So just so you know, yeah.
So you are basically handing them the national championship.
No, SEC West won the national championship. They were kings of the SEC West. They win the national championship.
Who are the team that was fraudulently crowned national champions?
Alabama.
So have you made the call, or who's calling
they
Nick?
They wouldn't even have been in it. Who's, don't you understand?
I'm asking who's calling Nick to tell him that they're out, that they don't get a key, that they got to give the trophy back.
I don't care who calls Nick.
Should it be Jimbo?
This ain't. Yeah, it should be.
Should it be Jimbo? Nick, Jimbo.
Hey, I don't know if you heard.
I don't know if you heard this or not, but this Granato guy on the radio, and we've both done radio shows with him. We know how he is. But he said that we won national championship. You're supposed to send it back to us. So how are we going to do this? Are you paying for it? We'll pay for it. We got a FedEx account. We'll get you a FedEx account. We need it back here as quickly as possible. We want to get in here before John and Lance come to do a show in August. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. John said it. So let's get it going.
Did SEC West win the national championship? Yes. Who was the champs of the SEC West? The Aggies.
I don't know how they won the championship, though.
They did, because they only had one loss, and they beat Alabama head-to-head. And Alabama had one loss.
They would have had no losses in the SEC West.
But
yeah, they lost to Florida.
No, that's not how it goes. They lost to Florida, so they were 11-1.
So if they so
they would have gone 11-1.
So do they count that as a win now to the Aggies?
Yeah.
It's a voided game.
It's a win.
They don't get it counted as a
no,
win.
No, yes, they do. They actually do.
Are you sure it's
yes,
not
it's
just
a
voided
now.
Game?
No, it's not a vacated game. It's a win for the Aggies.
So now it turns when we look at our all time. You know how college football fans are like, they're like all time.
They had 37 wins during that 3 years. That's pretty good.
So they have to look at the all-time record, right?
Yeah.
So now the all-time record, they have to go give the plus one A&M and a minus one LSU?
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Way to go. And yeah.
So A&M football team got a win. Is Jimbo getting a new contract extension?
He should.
He just won the
national championship.
Are they going to give? Is A&M going to give Sumlin another contract extension?
Oh, that was Sumlin.
That's another win.
That was another win.
Who gets the contract extension? When A&M gets a big win, somebody gets a contract extension. All you got to do is just tell them, there's rumors your coach is going to leave. How much money do they want? We'll give another 10 years, please. God, y'all got to stand your ground. It's like Bagwell with contracts and baseball. Stand your ground and have a process. Leno, click. This is what we do. Believe in yourself. Believe in your evaluations. Believe in your school. Believe in your you don't have to give contracts every year.
Yes,
brand new ones.
Yes, they do if they want to.
You really don't.
You ain't an Aggie. You ain't telling them what to do.
Did you ever wear an Aggie jersey to a game? I did. Did you ever saw Varsity's horns off whenever you were wearing an Aggie jersey that you don't want your wife to see?
I never.
Because Brian Caswell forces me to wear it?
No.
If I want tickets to the game?
I've worn an Aggie shirt to a game before. Absolutely.
Was it a jersey?
To an Aggie game? No, not a jersey. Okay. I wouldn't wear a jersey.
I was a jersey
T-shirt.
Guy.
I've worn a T-shirt. I support T-shirt the
fan.
Yeah, yeah. I'm almost an Aggie because I wore a T-shirt once. All right? I ain't not going to stab people for walking on the grass, but I'm going to, you know.
You're honorary.
I am honorary.
You're honorary.
Absolutely. When we come back. I talked to an agent, and I got some interesting stuff that I want to run by you about Dylan Brooks when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, though, you, my friend, need to talk about, I've got a little Doc Linville to talk
whatever
about.
Whatever you
want to
do.
I got a little Doc Linville I need to talk about. Doc Linville is awesome. Listen, if you are somebody who is that has hair, that needs some hair, okay? I needed some hair. I got some hair from Doc Linville. I mean, it has been it's been a great experience for me, and it's really been a great experience for everybody. When Doc Linville was in here, he said, yeah, all of your listeners, they're just great. It's unbelievable, and he's helping guy after guy after guy. And it might not be with the neo-grafting. It could be the PRP, where he takes your blood, he mixes it up, and then shoots it back into your head, which will stimulate the growth of your hair. This is happening all the time. And the doc will tell you, yeah, you're not really a candidate for the neo-grafting, or you're a real candidate for the neo-grafting. I was, Fred was, Jake was, Joel was. All of us, we've gotten it, and we all say the same thing. It's been fantastic for us, and it'll be fantastic for you. If you're sick and not having hair, it's not like, oh, how conceited are you? You got to get one hair. Yeah, no, I just don't want to be bald. I don't want to be bald. Do you want to be bald? No, nobody wants to be bald. Honestly, nobody. Maybe Robert Sala. That's it. But the rest of us, we all want hair. And if you want hair, 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.com. What did we say to you?
And if I said something to you, maybe I said something when I was drunk and I've forgotten it, but I don't think I said something when I was drunk and I've forgotten it. But if I did, then tell me what it was, and I'll say sorry for that too.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Summer can be a little slow in the world of sports, so to speed things up a little bit, this is the meth segment with John and Lance.
All right, we're not doing meth, but butt crack sports. But listen, it's butt crack sports, but this video is real. Did you see Brichtergate?
No. I don't think so.
Did you see Wembanyama shooting?
Oh, is that what? Yeah, I have seen this.
It's Brichtergate.
Well, okay, so they were doing this just a photo shoot. It was just about, I can't believe this is actually a thing. They were doing a photo shoot. Victor takes like three shots, misses all of them.
Not three, there were more. He missed every shot.
Yeah, it was, and he's just working on, they're shooting his release and everything like that, getting shots of his release.
Are they putting a video game together? Or?
Yeah, something like that. They're just getting certain shots, and then he missed these shots, and everyone's like, oh my God, look at him.
No, he's awful.
Missing.
He's awful. I mean, he didn't hit a shot, not one. And you're like, there's like 10 shots on here.
If Victor Wembanyama busts, if he does not become a great player, he will be the biggest bust in the history of basketball. And one of the biggest busts in the history of sports. I mean, we've seen some over the years. You have to have been around to understand the magnitude of certain, like the Tony Mandridge becoming a bust was a big deal. We remember Ryan Leaf, but That's not on the same level as Victor Wembanyama. Is a can't miss generational talent is what's expected. So if he misses, it would be the biggest bust in the history.
Yes.
Of sports because of the expectations. I know people are going to say, what about, Jamarcus Russell? this is
he wasn't thought to
this
be this
is a generational.
Actually, Jamarcus Russell turned out to be kind of a surprise first pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is no surprise.
This would be the biggest bust of all time.
Yes, of all time. Of all time. Let's get Will in here before I tell you about this Dylan Brooks stuff. Hey, Will.
Hey, guys. Everyday listener here. I just wanted to say, John, as a Dodger fan, thank you for seeing the light and coming to the same site that we're on. 2017, go ahead and ship that to us, too. Jim Crane, tell them all those ring nights. We all the fans need to bring them back. Everything from A to Z. A&M gets their trophy. We get our trophy. What? We're all good.
Are you giving people's trophies away?
Nobody vacated the Astros' wins, dumbass Dodger fan.
Are you giving away championships?
Was our championship? I did get an Aggie. Reagan said thank you for the championship.
Yeah.
No.
You're not going to send our trophy from 17 trophy, to LA, are
they
you?
They didn't. Hey. Rob Manfred, as stupid as he is and terrible as he is, he didn't vacate all the Astros' wins.
How about Manfred going saying, I made a big mistake. Yeah. I should have. Yeah, I think we talked about it last week.
We did.
Can this guy just stop? Can he just stop?
I mean, I just didn't get. I heard Patrick Creighton. Was it Patrick Creighton? I think it was Patrick Creighton had Evan Drellick on. And he just, there was no explanation for why Manfred would bring this up. And just stupid. Why are we doing this? All right. So I talked to an agent and got a little insight into the Dylan Brooks thing. Do you want Dylan Brooks?
I'm torn on Dylan Brooks because my easy answer is no, based on all the douchey stuff he did last year. But if we just kept it to the on the court and the basketball stuff, okay, I don't like the fact that he considers himself Draymond-y and Rodman-y, where he likes to. You know, he likes to do stuff that is too extra.
Yeah.
And I think he sees himself as a kind of a character, like a villain in basketball. And I'm kind of, to me, that is a selfish thing. Like it's one thing to help your team and to have a little bit of edge, but once it goes over the top, like I think it's gotten there with Patrick Beverley too. It becomes your personality and you think you have to live up to this persona.
Yeah.
It's like a wrestling thing. And I think Dylan went too far, and it's like a wrestling thing. But from a basketball standpoint, I actually don't mind Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, he didn't shoot well in the postseason, and he didn't play well. I think he did. He put too much pressure on himself. I think, you know, the yapping really got to him. I think he might, but this agent said, I think he might have learned something from it. He's a young guy. He made mistakes. I think, you know what, poking the bear was the wrong thing to do. But he did say this. He said that Memphis knew he wasn't coming back, and that statement about
why was he not coming back?
Because he wasn't going back to Memphis, and they knew it, and they knew he wasn't going back to Memphis.
I think it might have been mutual. I think Memphis also.
Well, no. But once they knew, they were like, there was absolutely no way that we're bringing him back. Was kind of a shot at him. Was a shot, and it was an un. It's not the kind of shot you don't hear that.
No, they don't must hear have that really from, for them to say that is they must have really not liked him,
or they were really pissed at him.
Well, I would have been really pissed at what he did in the playoffs.
Yes, I think they were pissed at him what they did in the playoffs, and I think they were pissed that he wasn't even giving them a chance.
Why
to re-sign
was he
him.
Not gonna like? Why would you? I really understand it more from the Grizzly side that I wouldn't. We got to get away from the Ja and the Dylan stuff because it's taking away too much on the basketball court.
Yeah,
I think, and that's my big problem with Dylan is he started taking away from. Remember, not surprisingly, it was the Shannon Sharpe stuff all started with Dylan Brooks, with Shannon and Dylan Brooks. It's like Dylan gets into stuff all the time, and it takes away from what's on the court.
Well, the here's the thing:
I like the toughness.
If the kid learned and the kid is maturing, and because that was immature stuff, let's face it. You know, talking about LeBron James, dude.
Well, you're asking if he's maturing. Yeah. I mean, that's a big jump. That's a big leap of faith since that's just what happened.
Yeah.
Literally, the last thing we saw Dylan Brooks is him
doing
that.
You notice you haven't heard from Dylan Brooks at all. You know,
no,
at,
they
at
say
all.
He's going to China. Everyone's trying to send him to Wang Chi or whatever, one of those teams or the Saigon Sharks or whatever. That's the big joke is that he's going to Korea or he's – the new meme is that whenever a player busts out in the playoffs, everyone's like, you know, and here's this – they'll create basketball cards with guys in China and Korea.
I wouldn't be surprised. Hey, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he there's a lot of smoke around the Rockets. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's not a Rocket.
He's been mentioned with the Rockets quite a few times.
Quite a bit. And so I would not be surprised at all.
You know, you could stick him at the three. He can guard multiple positions.
I kind of like his intensity and his – listen, I don't know.
Udoka would probably like the way he plays.
I think he would. I think he would. And I think Udoka could probably get him to shut up.
We'll see.
Yeah.
You can't stop how a player dresses, his pregame stuff, his Instagram stories. I don't know if Udoka can stop
I don't
all
know
that
he's that kind of guy. I think he's I think he's over the top. But maybe the kid has learned something. We'll see. But I don't know. I'm torn on him being a Rocket. I didn't think it would, but I'm coming around more and more and more on Dylan Brooks being a Rocket and the toughness that he's going to bring to a team that, quite frankly, needs toughness. If it's Brooke Lopez, a defender, a big guy who can handle big guys inside, that's going to rebound, that is going to be a guy. If it is Dylan Brooks, a guy who is, let's face it, he is a tough player.
That's pregame. Yes, that's his stuff that he does with the blowout and the coat and all that. This is probably the stuff that Ime Udoka would vomit at this.
Yeah,
and this is just last year. So well, this is the stuff
the whole team
that,
is doing it.
I know.
Yeah.
That's why I think they wanted him out of there. They're like, we can't be doing
it. Well, but
stuff.
They're all doing it.
The leader.
Yeah.
He's the guy that started the dance.
Well.
He's known as the guy that started that whole dance. That's what I'm saying. I am torn on Dylan Brooks because I want him to stop trying to be Dylan Brooks, the character, and be Dylan Brooks like he was in college.
The basketball player.
Just be the basketball player. Yeah. Don't try to be Dylan Brooks. Like, at some point, you got to get back to not being a cartoon character.
Well, this agent told me that he feels like he's growing up.
I hope he's right.
Right. So, anyway, there's that. And, you know, Jonathan Fagan put together a list of guys. And we'll talk about them on the other side. And we'll see whether or not are these guys
$64 million to spend, John. It's up to $64 million to spend now. The Rockets are going to be serious players if they want to wallow it. I guess the question is: Are you going to do smart
that's
deals?
That's it.
Because you can beat teams in a bidding war, but are you going to do smart deals?
Yeah. And what this agent told me too is Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton opted out of $40 million. He's just looking for $100 million deal. He's probably going to take less per year, but he wants that longer term deal. I don't see it. I don't know. I don't see it. I think go back to Milwaukee, actually, if you want to know the truth. So Chris Middleton would be a nice piece here. I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. Or James Harden, as a matter of fact. So we'll talk about all of that on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to talk a little QC? You want to talk a little QC right now?
I'll talk some QC kinetics. That's fine with me. My wife has been the beneficiary of the ability to train once again for a marathon, and this is after she had a pretty bad degenerative knee, and it's really amazing what QC kinetics is doing. There's certain treatments that, you know, she had to take a different treatment course because of how severe the knee issue was for her from a degenerative standpoint. So she went in 5 different times. There are a lot of people who will go in 2 to 3 times and get the same results. For a lot of people, it's about beating chronic pain. And when you beat chronic pain, when you have the chronic pain that just simply is changing the way that you have to live your life, you have to go through that chronic pain and find a way to withstand it. Well, that's when you start getting shots that are short-term short-term solutions. That's whenever you start talking about surgeries. That's whenever you start using pain medication, which can be its own problem. With QC Kinetics, it's the body's healing power. They concentrate it. They take it out. They concentrate it. They put it back into the joint. And what happens is that you start to have regenerative processes that are expedited. And so you have damaged tissue that is restored and then regenerated tissue that help to provide relief from chronic pain. This is something that pro athletes have used for years. It's something that has a great success rate. Don't just go with the old methods. Go with the newer one that is really sweeping the nation. 4 locations now. They've opened up yet another location for QC Kinetics because they are successful at what they do. QCKinetics.com, 713-913-5285.
ESPN975.com. Get in the race.
Don't you forget, driver and car have to be equally good to win, so do your best job.
I'll do the best job of driving I can.
Let's get back to the wrench with these two tools. It's John and Lance from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
All right, so we mentioned on the other side, Jonathan Fagan, he put out yesterday in the Chronicle, getting ready to flash cash. Rockets more than $60 million to spend. Okay, the headliners, James Harden. Do you want James Harden?
No,
I don't either.
I'd prefer not. I'd prefer not.
I don't. I just don't think James Harden's good for this locker room.
No. It's never. That's never made sense. This idea that he'll mentor young people.
No,
he's never mentored anyone in his career. I've never seen him. If anything, he had issues with other. When he was a Rocket, he had issues with other guys who came in that were supposed to play alongside him. No, I've seen the James thing. I think we're pretty much on record as. Don't want James back. So that's it. Philadelphia is not going to give him what he wants. And it's going to be interesting. James is going to have to. James has no leverage now. He has no leverage. Daryl Morey is not just going to give him money to give him money. James is going to get a contract that Daryl Morey thinks he's worthy of. And James is kind of stuck. He has misplayed his hand. Because now he's stuck in. I think he's going to end up being stuck in Philadelphia, and now Daryl Morey's going to be stuck with James, and that's a city that does not forget.
Yeah, they're not paying him max, though. I think James is staying there. He's going to pay him less than the max. It did not work out for James. Whether or not he was playing the role, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know.
I think James wanted to come back.
He just doesn't seem like an E-May guy. It just doesn't.
But I think James wanted to come back.
Yeah.
I think James wanted to come back.
James wanted another suitor, and the Rockets were perfect.
Well, the Rockets would have made a lot of sense, but I think he would. If you ask James, would you rather live in Philadelphia or Houston? It's Houston. 100 days out of 100 days.
Did anybody ask Ime Udoka if he wants him, though?
Well, Ime, we've been talking about this well before. The James stuff was well before Ime Udoka even got here.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel like a fit with Udoka.
He doesn't feel like a fit with a young team.
Well, and that's why one of the reasons I was happy Udoka came in is because Udoka is kind of he's a pop guy. Pop guys aren't.
Yeah.
Popovich guys don't fade fools. That's not what they like. And James, to me, has foolish behavior.
Yeah.
It's not a guy that's a leadership guy or a defense guy. So what? Like, that doesn't make sense with Udoka. Udoka demands defensive effort and intensity.
Yeah.
And so that's why
it doesn't make
James
sense.
Never made sense. It doesn't make sense.
No, not for an organization. And the organization. Listen, I heard a lot of complaints. We got to play better defensively. And hey, listen, if it's going to be Dylan Brooks... If it's going to be, it can't be James Harden. Are you kidding? That's the antithesis of good playing harder and defense and mentoring young guys. He is the exact opposite of what the Rockets want.
No history of doing any of that.
None of
there
that.
Is no
None
background or no history that
None
you can find.
Draymond Green.
I don't want. I think Draymond will eventually. You know, Draymond and Brooks to me are the same kind of. Only one guy's younger.
One guy's younger.
But Draymond, I think, will not meld well with the young team. I think Draymond will.
He'll
same
punch
way
him
Chris
in the face,
Paul,
though.
Yeah, it's not. That didn't really help.
You think if Jordan Poole
really
got
Golden
punched
State,
in the face, what do you think is going to happen with some of these guys?
He'll get rat packed by the team.
Yeah,
he'll get his ass kicked by a bunch of guys stomping him out that? Because the whole team will turn.
Ooh,
on
him. He'll get yes. a Coke can party.
Yeah, he'll get rat packed. No, let him swing on. Jalen Green, KPJ's jumping in, KJ Martin, they're all going to jump in and beat his ass. That's what will happen. He'll get jumped by three or four guys. And that's what I'm worried. I just think he's too old. And same way with Chris Paul, they're too old to relate to the younger guys. And they're stubborn in their ways. I don't think it's a good fit. Like I like a grizzled veteran, but this team, I think you have to be careful because this is a super young team. They'd consider Draymond an old head, and they just move on. I'm not listening to this old head, and it would be on to the next one.
Yep.
James Harden would work well with them because James, they would love to party with James. That ain't what we're trying to do to win a championship. No. That's not what Udoka came in for.
No, 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 that's not, no.
Don't want Pat Beverly. He didn't mention Pat Beverly. Don't want Pat Beverly, right? He's Pat Beverly mentioned Pat Beverly.
Yeah.
But Jonathan Fagan didn't mention him, did he?
No, he didn't mention him. No, he didn't mention him.
I'm not interested in Draymond either. Just too old.
Chris Middleton.
Middleton's interesting. I would consider Middleton.
I would too.
Pure shooter, pure scorer. Can get mid-range. I think he actually fits Udoka's offense too.
What this guy thinks?
He's had some injuries though.
This guy thinks he's going back. He opted out of $40.4 million. You're like, holy crap, dude! What are you're opting out of $40 million for 1 year?
Some of these guys,
but he's going to get himself a longer deal.
Some of these guys opting out are. Yeah, they're going to have to live with just longer deals because the APY is not going to be the same.
No, the average he won't get at 40 per year, but as opposed to just that 40.4, he's going to get himself a long-term guaranteed deal, 3-4 years, where he's going to make over 100, and he would prefer that. So, and I just don't know. I'd like to see him. I mean, he's what a shooter, what a good player, but I don't know. I don't know that he's. What about Van Vliet?
Yes, I like him. We've discussed most of these in the past, but Van Vliet is a guy that, to me, can hit spot-up shots when Jalen or somebody else creates off the dribble. Van Vliet can be another ball handler on the court. Van Vliet can allow you the ability to kind of move KPJ around, maybe come off the bench and be a sixth man. I like Van Vliet. I know Rockets fans aren't too crazy about him. They're just kind of on Van Vliet. But Van Vliet, to me, is serious-minded. He has NBA Finals experience where he's played really well. I think he brings what you want to the table. He brings some seriousness, and he brings range, and he brings a guy who has playoff experience. If Rocket fans want to aspire to the playoffs and competing for the playoffs, it'd be nice to have some guys in the roster who knows what it feels like and what it looks like.
I don't think the mark. I don't know why. So Van Vliet can get $233 million from the Raptors in there, and he's not getting that. And I don't think he's going to get the. I don't know. I don't know that the market is out there for $173 million either.
No, I think the market. For
he
him
was a $22 million player last year.
I'm not overpaying.
I think
for
he's
Fred
going
Van Vliet.
To get a couple year deal in about the 25-26
range. 2 at 50 sounds good to me.
Yeah. I think that's what he's going to get.
He's 29 years old now, too. 2 at 50 sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
He's not a $30 million guy.
And I just would love to see. Talk about in defensive intensity and a leader, a guy who's won. I would really, if you want to know between Harden and Van Vliet, it's a no-brainer for me. It's a no-brainer. Van Vliet.
Yeah, they're different types of players.
Yeah.
But they're also different costs associated.
Listen,
they're different styles.
He's
of
also
players.
Not going to be a ball hog. And just dribble, dribble, dribble while everybody's standing around. That's not a way for the young guys to learn.
No.
I think Van Vliet will get a lot of guys in good position.
Well, you know, Fred Van Vliet was a 7.2 assist to 2 turnover guy last year.
Yeah.
It's this 3.5. You know, he's 3.5 to 1 at that. And he shot 34%, which is low for him. His career is 37% from 3. That's exactly what the Rockets. Look, I think you have two guys who are primary scorers in Green and Şengün. And this is before, I assume you're going to get to Jaylen Brown. But Green and Şengün, well, then what you need is somebody who can handle the ball, hit spot-up threes. You don't have to have him. You want somebody who can make threes, frankly. He was 39% from the field, 40% from the field, 38% from the field, 41. Like, he shoots poor from the field, 40% for his
37
career.
37 from three.
40% for his career from the field.
Well, he's little. I think that's one of the reasons maybe going inside is going to be difficult for him to score.
The greatest year he's ever had from the field is 42%.
Well, go outside then. Just go outside.
Makes free throws at a very high clip, 86.9
career. That's nice.
Yeah, so I think there's a limitation on what you pay him. But if you get him at the right price, he'd be a good one.
Austin Reaves.
I'd like it. I think they'll be at match, but I'd like Austin Reaves.
I think the Lakers will match. And you know what you have to do? Here's the problem with Austin Reaves. You have to put the money down that you're offering him, and it's got to stay in, and you can't touch it for a week.
In an escrow?
Not in an escrow. You have to put it, and while he is deciding or while the Lakers are deciding whether or not going to match, you can't touch that money and use it on other players. So.
Yeah, I was about to say, who cares if you can't spend your money. But you're
saying you can't spend it in another player.
It's like kind of having an order on a stock where you can't. That money's promised already.
Yeah, right.
Somewhere.
It's promised.
Oh, wow. So, well, then you still could do it, but you'd have to do it later.
But here's the deal. There's no way the Lakers aren't matching. So what all you're doing is tying up your own money. It doesn't matter what.
I'd still do it if I've already got other guys under. If Reeves is late to sign, then I'd get.
Yeah, but you're.
You think they're.
But by the time you get that money back, all the other guys that you want are gone.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Free agent. No, then he's not the priority. So free agency for me, we'll see what happens. But free agency starts on Friday. Van Vliet, I think, will have limited suitors. This is not exactly a great spot from a winning standpoint. But I wonder how Udoka changes it. Udoka may change the. May change the perception by free agents. We've heard the two guys we've heard the most are Van Vliet and Brook Lopez. We've heard them a lot lately with Houston, and they both make a lot of sense.
Well, we've heard a lot of we've heard a lot of Dylan Brooks. We've heard a lot of Cam Johnson. We've heard a lot of James Harden. I'm hearing a lot of Bruce Brown right now.
Yeah, but we're hearing a lot less. Bruce Brown's an interesting.
Bruce
one.
Brown would be nice.
He's a really interesting one. James, we're hearing a lot. James, they said it looks like he's headed back to Philadelphia.
Yes.
It's. The two that I hear most, Cam is thrown out, but Cam I think is more of a fan one because he's just out there. The ones that the basketball insiders put out there.
Well, Jonathan's got him on his list. He's got
who,
Dylan
Cam.
He's got Jakob Poeltl. He's got Dante DiVincenzo.
I never hear Poeltl, and I never
Jordan
hear
Clarkson, DiVincenzo. Bruce Brown, Rio Hashimura.
No.
No.
I'm not hearing any of those names with the Rockets. No, I mean, Reeves, we've talked about Reeves. Rui Hachimura is not going to be here.
I think Reeves, when you got to tie up the money, I don't think it's happening.
Reeves going to get redone with. So, now, the question I would have is, how are you going to handle? And Brook Lopez is an Udoka fit. That's an Udoka fit. Tough guy, will handle dirty work. Now, my question would be, how do they play the double bigs? Are they playing double bigs at the same time? What's that going to look
like? Well, because Lopez can stand outside, they can.
Yeah, he can stretch.
Yeah,
he can stretch, and that's probably what they're going to have to do, which could hurt offensive rebounding a little bit, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. He's not exactly a rim runner, though. He's not a catch-and-dunk type of, you know, flying over the rim
of
guy.
That's what Alpe's for.
He's not a rim runner.
What's that? You see Alpe's dunks?
I see his dunks, but he's not a guy that's just a pure, you know, screen and roll, jump and dunk guy. That's more like Robert Williams, like who they have in. Udoka had in Boston.
Yeah.
One of those athletic guys. I wouldn't put that on Lopez. He's skilled.
Not Lopez.
Şengün is skilled. I mean, getting guys on the team, we've talked about it. Getting guys who know how to win, that's a big deal.
Yes.
That is a big deal. These guys know how to lose.
Yep.
They don't know how to win on a consistent basis.
All right.
Who else?
That's it.
Bruce Jordan, Brown. I haven't heard Bruce Brown. This is the first time
I'm here. I've heard Bruce Brown a few times, but. We'll see. Listen.
I'm interested in Bruce Brown.
He opted out of his contract that would have paid him $6.8 million. Dude's going to make some money.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Bruce Brown would be nice. Bruce Brown would be nice. He's certainly a nice piece. Cam Johnson is another restricted free agent. You ain't tying up that money for him. I like what I'm seeing. We'll see what happens, but. They got 64 to spend.
They got money.
Yep. They got 64 to spend. It'll be interesting to see how they go about it. All right, 713-780-3776. Any of these thoughts, or we'll get back to Astros baseball on the other side. I know a lot of you are pissed that are just getting up. You haven't been listening to us. We've been pissed. We were pissed earlier this morning, and we will talk about that on the other side. Right now, though.
You're pissed about a win?
Yeah, I'm pissed about a win. Yes, I couldn't have been more pissed off watching that game. Some of the stupid things that they did, the decisions that Dusty made, it was maddening.
They were close to getting swept by the
Dodgers. Thanks to some really, really bad play and bad decisions, and we'll talk about it on the other side. Right now, though, I'm talking about Doc Manavisa, and I'm talking about if you are having a real problem. With peeing too much, way too much, getting up in the middle of the night, going way too often, you can't hold it. You can't. If you have symptoms of benign prostatic hyperplasia, how about that BPH? Well, now you need Doc Menavise, okay? Doc Menavise is going to come, and it's not a surgery, okay? It's an IV. If you or somebody, how about in completely, you could have, because of your BPH, you could have ED as well. And if you have ED, because your prostate is expanded, because your prostate is grown, because your prostate is something that you have not, that it's unmanageable. Now, if it's cancer, Doc is not going to help you. That's for surgery. Doc Menavise is all about the IV, so that it's painless. It takes about 45 minutes. It's the way to go, people. If you have prostate issues, this is the one person that you have to see. Do not go and get surgery just because you have a prostate, because you have BPH. It is something that you have got to check out if you're going way too often, can't hold it, can't stop, can't start, getting up a bunch in the middle of the night. You need to go to 975prostate.com, 975prostate.com.
ESPN975.com. This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
I want you to come get lost with me. Ask you one more time before I try to leave. So can you make
a... I'm going to make this fast because John has a tea time and Lance has more NFL work to do. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's The Trench.
Get in the trench.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5-713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, anything that we've talked about. Well, something that we were talking about earlier in the show was the Astros and how frustrating. If you want to get in, you weren't here earlier, you didn't hear earlier, you want to get in, you can do that. All you need to do is get in here with us at 713-780-3776. So many mistakes last night. First, Jake Meyers not running on a clear, what was certainly going to be a base hit. And he's at second base, and the ball's pretty much going over his head. Mm-hmm. You could tell that it was not; it's going to fall in, and that was just awful. Didn't score the fifth run, which you needed at that point, because Montero can't have enough runs. Just can't have enough runs. But when it was a 4-1 lead, Montero comes in and gives it up. When you got Neris, who's also woman, Neris has got a 1.15, and Montero's got a 7.04 ERA. Who brings in, especially the way Montero pitched with a 3-run lead against the Mets just 3 days or, well, 4 or 5 days earlier. The last time he was out there, he couldn't hold that. Well, he gave up two, and if not for Jalks diving on that play on a line drive that should have scored another run against Montero, then Montero's given that whole thing away. Montero gets two outs right away and then hits a batter. Then the double, the 2000th hit for Freddie Freeman, and then the home run by Will Smith. It's just so bad right now, and Dusty is just giving. It's like there's no urgency for this team. There are other teams that are really struggling. Did you see the Mets bullpen just implode?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
the Mets. It's crazy how far back. I mean, the Mets are a disaster.
Disaster.
This is what happens when you try to buy your way into a championship. Yep. I'm glad. Yep. I'm glad to see the Mets.
Oh, I am too. I don't want to see Verlander win there. I don't. Huh. I don't. You know, $43 million a year. Hey, oh well. Sorry about that. It doesn't seem like there's and batting first and third, nobody out. And you're batting in the eighth inning? Was it the eighth? Yeah, or the ninth. You're batting Machete.
Oh, that was in the...
Or was that extra? I forget. Anyway.
No, I think that was extra.
It might have been extra. Why in the world...
Or no.
Here, I got to pull it up. So it's first and third, nobody out. Okay, so Maldonado against the Mets put down a bunt and they scored.
Right.
Earlier in this game, Maldonado comes up, bunts, goes right back to the pitcher, and he walks to the dugout. I mean, he didn't even leave the box, and he put his head down. He's so disgusted. And then again in...
How about Tucker trying to lay down one?
In the tenth inning, Jolks singled to right. Myers walked. He gets and Jolks to third on a wild pitch. So you got first and third, nobody out, and he bats Maldonado and he bunts him. And then he bunts it back to the pitcher and he throws him out of first base. And Jolks stands in the middle of the baseline instead of going back to third. What in the world are you guys thinking about? Mm-hmm. You go back to third. You got second and third with one out. All you need is a fly ball to score that very important
base
run.
Base knock scores two.
But yeah. And instead, Jolks gets caught in a rundown and get thrown out a double play. First of all,
that was easily the most pathetic play of the whole weekend.
Yes, that was.
Because of what it meant at the time, what it could have meant at the time.
Well, what was worse, that or the balk?
Well, okay, when I say pathetic, it's...
pathetic play, too.
Yeah, well, but I didn't like the call, though. Yeah. Like, that wasn't... I mean, Stanek's got to be careful. But at the same time, this was like, this is stupid. This is dumb baseball.
It was just dumb. Jolks, come on. How long have you been playing baseball? It's a bunt. You're on third with nobody out. You just go back to the base.
You have to commit. You either commit back to third or to home. You have to commit
instead,
one way or the
other.
Instead,
he just stood there, kind of went, then stopped, and then just watched the third baseman when he was way too far off third base. He was going to get caught either way. Go back to what is Pettis doing?
I don't know.
What are you doing? Get him back. Go back. Unbelievable how poor baseball that was. That was maybe the dumbest play of the entire season.
It was poor baseballing. That's poor baseballing right there. Jake Myers took an angle to a hit that was poor baseballing at times. Mauricio Dubon played. He was not involved in a lot of poor baseball.
No, Mauricio Dubon was important.
His play to
really
dive on the shortstop side in extra innings to keep the runner at third
and to get the out
was monstrous. And did you notice that Ryan Pressly was just not going to give? He was just not going to give hitters a fastball. He was like curve, slider, curve. By the way, is this the first time? I don't ever see this on local broadcasts. The pitch, that sweeping slider, they just call it sweeper now. On the broadcast where they have the pitch type and the pitch speed on ESPN, it just says sweeper. You know, that the sweeping slider across the – they just call it sweeper now. Sweeper pitch.
I never noticed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Which is actually more accurate because there are different types of sliders, but they just call it the sleeper and move on.
Listen, if that gets past Dubon or he doesn't get the out, it makes it that much more difficult. Him diving and able to throw out Will Smith, then Vargas strikes out and Peralta grounded out to end the game. Mauricio Dubon saved the game, and so did Seth Martinez. Seth Martinez coming in and saving that game was just huge. How about that? If you want to know the truth, the way that Presley's been pitching, okay, you still trust him. And he gave you two really, really good innings yesterday. But the way that everybody's in that bullpen is pitching right now, Seth Martinez may be, after Neris, Seth Martinez may be your go-to guy.
You think? That's not the case. Dusty is not flippant with this bullpen. Like, he knows what he likes, and that's that. He's not just flighty with how he changes
it. No, well, listen.
You may say that, but they ain't changing. That's
right after
Presley?
Look. You know who he went to? He went to Seth Martinez.
Well, but he wasn't going to go to Neris. He wasn't.
Neris was already done.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right. He doesn't have him to go to. He doesn't have Montero to. Who did he? He didn't have.
He went Maton.
Pitch the night before.
He
already gone Maton.
I don't know that you
He's
can trust
kind of out
Maton
of,
all that much anymore.
Dusty can.
I know Dusty does. No, I said, you know, someone that. It just seems like Dusty's. I don't care. Just throw anybody in.
He doesn't. He throws certain guys to certain spots, and he doesn't change.
Well, really? Montero?
Has he changed?
Yeah, he's changed. Yes, he changed.
How?
He even said it. He said, I can't throw him out there. I got to throw him out there
in
the sixth. And then he threw him out there in the eighth.
That's what I said. He hasn't changed.
Literally, to Chandler Rome, after the Mets game, he said, I can't throw him out. I have to throw him out there early in the game. And I can't use him in the eighth.
And yet
he
did.
He used him in the eighth.
Yeah. So
well, he knows. He just says, whatever. He knows.
So
he knows it, Lance. He just isn't even listening to himself.
I don't care what he knows. I care what happens. Montero keeps going out there in high leverage situations.
Well, he's got a 3-run lead, dude.
That's still high leverage.
No, 3-run lead.
Yes.
He's got a 3-run lead.
It's late.
Oh.
And you know what? And he actually was looking good until he hit a batter with 2 strikes. Once he hit the elbow, it was like, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, Freddie Freeman got his 2,000th hit. And then before you know it, Will Smith, bingo, bango, bongo. And Twitter was, Astros Twitter's on fire. It's just all of us are so sick of, it's just really frustrating watching Montero right now. The last 3 games have been abject disasters for this guy.
Disaster.
Like, absolutely disastrous. The last 2 months, May and June, have been pathetic. May, he had a 12 ERA. June, he has a 10 ERA. I mean, just awful, awful baseball right now. His batting average against for the year is .337. There's no, like, sometimes you can go find the good stuff.
Yep.
You can't find any good
stuff.
There's
no good stuff.
There's nothing good.
You know what's good? I can find some good stuff. I can find it at Chastang 4. That's where I find that good stuff. I found the truck. My son drove my truck last night, and he was like, man, is this thing awesome? It really is. If you're looking for an F-150, an electric F-150, I'm telling you, I love my vehicle, and you'll love yours, too. Never go to the gas station, ever, ever, ever. Never have to go. And just plug it in at night. It's fantastic. If you're somebody that just tools around the city, I highly recommend this. It's, you know, it's a Ford, and it's an F-150. It's beautiful, and it's wonderful, and I ain't never giving it up. And if you're looking for that deal, that perfect deal for you, I love the deal that I got from Chastang Ford. I bought 2 vehicles from him. I bought an Expedition, and I bought my F-150 from him, and I love them. I love them both. Look, and I got the best deal I could possibly get on those. And you will get those too. It's not just because I work with them. I got a buddy that's buying one now from Chastang Ford. And he's like, they're just so unbelievable. The service is second to none. The attention that you're going to get from them. How the deal that they're going to work as hard as they possibly can. The product that is second to none. Everything about it is perfect. So if you're looking for that Ford car or truck, it doesn't matter. They're not going to add on. They're not going to mark up. They're going to get you in your payments where you have to be. It's going to be the perfect deal for you every single time at Chastang Ford. They're going to make it perfect. And if it's not, they're going to fix it. It doesn't matter what it is. They'll fix it. ChastangFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Tell them you heard it right here.
ESPN 97.5.com. One of these guys cheats at fishing.
We got weights and fish.
There we go.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.